Hi, this is Pastor Stuart Mazzell from Westminster Presbyterian Church. Thank you so much for tuning in to the sermon today. We are continuing in our series on what the scriptures say about money. Now, last week we looked at several of the themes in the book of Proverbs about money and wealth. And one of the things that we saw was that wealth is a blessing from God, but wisdom is better than wealth. The second thing that we saw is that foolishness can have a negative effect on our financial status. And then the third thing we saw is that wisdom moves us to shun greed and to embrace generosity. We also saw in the sermon last week that Christ is wisdom from God. And so all of the Proverbs, all of the wisdom that we find in the Proverbs really point us to Him. And if we want wisdom, we will find wisdom mainly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today we're going to be going back to the Proverbs, but we're only going to be looking at one particular theme, and that is the theme of debt. What do the scriptures, and the Proverbs in particular, say about debt? Okay, so the first thing we need to see when it comes to the book of Proverbs is that there is definitive wisdom in avoiding debt as much as possible. If you were to look at what the Proverbs say about debt, about going into taking on a loan or even putting up security for someone else's loan, there is definitive wisdom in avoiding debt as much as possible. Listen to some of these Proverbs. First of all, Proverbs 22:7 says this, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. In other words, if you are a borrower, if you're borrowing money from someone, someone's lending it to you, and you have to pay it back, especially as you have to pay it back with interest, there is a sense in which that person is your master. Because that person holds something over your head. Because what that person has done is taken away some of your freedom in you using whatever money or whatever possessions you have in your own interest, because you have to pay back that guy that you owe the money to. And so there is a sense in which when we borrow money, we are enslaving ourselves to the person or the institution that has lent us the money. Or take this for example, Proverbs 22:26-27. "Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?" And now in this particular setting, the book of Proverbs is talking about how we may put up security for someone else's loan, like co-signing, so to speak. If someone else is borrowing money and we say, hey, I can vouch for this person, I can help pay in case he isn't able to pay, well, that could come back on our heads. That could bring real trouble to us. Like the proverb says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? If you try to help someone out with a loan and then they renege on it, they go back on it, and they're not able to pay, then you have to pay. And if you're not able to pay, then bad things can happen to you. This is why in Proverbs 6, we read this. It's Proverbs 6, 1 and following. "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. The way Proverbs 6 puts this situation is that you are endangered when you put up security for someone else, when there is a loan aspect and you may have to pay it back. And it would be better to go and plead, let me loose from this, than to be stuck in a trap of debt, of the loan, and have to try to pay it back. And what happens if you're not able to? Proverbs 27:12, while not specifically about debt, does give us some insight into part of the problem when it comes to debt. Proverbs 27:12 says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So what he's saying here, if we put it in the context of debt, the prudent person might say, hey, okay, I really want so-and-so, car or whatever. In order to get that, I have to get this loan. But if I get this loan, I have to make sure that I pay all of this back at a certain time, and I have to pay it with interest. And what happens if I'm not able to? Well, maybe I should be wise about this. Maybe I should think through this some more and consider all of the dangers that might be out there that might happen to me in the future, and then back off of that if need be, rather than going into debt and then finding out I'm not able to pay and then suffer for it. This is part of what we're talking about when we're talking about debt. The book of Proverbs gives us this overarching idea that there is definitive wisdom in avoiding debt as much as possible. Now, that leads us to the question, is debt sin? Is going into debt a sin? Now, you may run into some people who would say, yeah, it is. Going into debt is a sin. But I don't think you can back that up from Scripture as a whole. I think if you look at Scripture as a whole, debt is not sin in and of itself. Debt in and of itself is not sin. Now, that doesn't mean that debt can't be sinful, because pretty much anything that we do can be sinful because of the way we do it or how we do it or our heart attitude in doing it. But that doesn't mean that the thing in and of itself is sin. Debt is not sin in and of itself. Now, it doesn't mean that debt is wise. It doesn't mean that debt is the best thing for us to do. It simply means that we can't put the burden on someone to say that no matter what, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter who you are, no matter what your purposes of going into debt are, that debt is always sin. We can't say that. We have to say, no, debt is not sin in and of itself. But that leads us to another point that we need to think about. Just because something is not sin doesn't mean it is wise. Let me say that again. Just because something is not sin does not mean it is wise. There is a distinction between what is sinful and what is not wise. Now, a lot of times those things go together. But you can do something that is not sin and yet it not be wise. So here's an example. Right now, you know that coronavirus is wreaking havoc over all of the world and even here in America, even here in South Carolina. And Camden is one of the biggest places where it is hit.
In our state.
Now, I don't think it would be sinful for me to take a drive over to Camden and walk around and maybe meet a few people. I don't think that would necessarily be sin in and of itself. Me going to Camden, that's not sin. But if I was to go to Camden right now, it probably wouldn't be very wise of me to do that, especially if I go there, meet someone who may be infected with COVID-19, I get it, I bring it home to my family, and possibly I infect other people. That's not a wise thing. But would going to Camden be a sin? No. And the same can be said about debt. Debt in and of itself, it's not sin per se, but it may not be wise to get into it. And so just because something is not sin doesn't mean it is wise. And what the book of Proverbs is showing us is what wisdom looks like. And wisdom says that we would avoid debt as much as possible. Now, having said all of this, debt may not be sin in and of itself. But the scriptures use it as a metaphor for sin. We do need to have that placed into our thinking if we're going to have the right view of debt. Debt may not be a sin in and of itself, but the scriptures use it as a metaphor for sin. Think about the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, he's not saying that we owe a particular amount of money to God and we haven't paid it and God is going to let us off. And he's not saying that there are people who owe us money and we should just forgive them. No, what that prayer is saying is, forgive us our sins. Our debt of lacking the glory of God, lacking His character in our decisions, in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, where we have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what sin is. And yes, debt is seen as a metaphor for sin. We owe God glory. We owe Him everything, really, in our lives. And yet we run from glorifying God, and we often want to glorify or honor ourselves. Rather than glorifying the God and honoring the God who created us, who sustains us, and has given us so many blessings, we go the other way. And we owe God that, and yet we don't pay it, and therefore there's a debt. Sin is a debt, or at least debt is a metaphor for sin. And we have to understand, in order to understand how we as Christians are to focus on debt, yes, it's wise for us to recognize that debt is something that we can avoid, we should try to avoid if at all possible. And debt may not be sin, but it may not also be wise. But if debt is seen as a metaphor for sin, then that leads us into the gospel, which again will help us to have real wisdom for how to live our lives. And part of the good news of Jesus is that He paid our debt of sin through His death on the cross. Part of the good news of Jesus is that He paid our debt of sin through His death on the cross. All that we owed God, all the obedience that we owe Him, Jesus gave perfectly in His life. He lived this beautiful and wonderful life of righteousness, of goodness, of giving God his Father everything that he demands and desires. And then Jesus went to a cross to take my sin and your sin upon himself, to take our debt. In fact, in the Gospel of John, one of the last words Jesus says is, "It is finished." The Greek word there is tetelestai, and it basically is about paying a debt in full. Paid in full is what Jesus is saying. And think about that. All of my sin, all of your sin, all of our debt of sin paid at the cross. Wow, that is just mind-boggling to think about. You know, we started this sermon with some statistics about American debt. $13.86 trillion worth of debt. That is a lot of debt. But if you think about it, every single one of us, with every single day that has gone by in our lives, we owe God glory. We owe God honor. We owe Him our obedience. And every time we fail to do that, we have incurred debt, so to speak, the debt of sin. And yet Jesus has taken all of that debt, much more than 13 trillion debt of sin, upon himself. And his righteousness is given to us. Not only do we have our debts paid, but our account has his righteousness in it now. And so when God takes a look at us, what he sees is the goodness and righteousness of his Son. This is part of the good news, people. This is part of the good news of Jesus, that he has paid our debt. Our debt is paid in full. And now we stand before God with no debt of sin. So Christ has paid for our debts, our debt of sin. And now all that we are is found in Christ. We are new creations in Christ because of what he's done for us in this cross and his resurrection. And as new creations in Christ, our lives are to reflect more and more of his wisdom, right? As new creations in Christ, our lives are to reflect more and more of his wisdom. We want our lives to show the wisdom of Jesus, even in the way we deal with financial debt. Not just the debt of sin, yeah, but even in the way we live our lives and spend our money, we want our lives to reflect more and more of the wisdom of Christ. And if Christ's wisdom is that debt should be avoided as much as possible, then that's the way we seek to live, to reflect more of him and his wisdom. Part of this wisdom that we're to reflect more and more in our lives, part of this wisdom is that we find contentment in Christ. We find contentment in Christ. And think about this. In Hebrews 13:5, we read, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." Why? Because he, the Lord, has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Never. This is our Jesus speaking to us. And he says, look, money may leave you. Things may leave you. Even people may leave you. But I will not. I am your King, I am your Lord, I am your Savior. And Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I own all things. So if you're worried about where your next meal is coming from or what clothes you will wear, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. That's from the mouth of Jesus, right? But even more importantly is to recognize that even if you don't get anything other than Jesus, Jesus really is enough. That Jesus really is better. Because Jesus' promises are always true, always good, always right, and he never goes back on those promises. Paul says that he learned the secret of contentment. And here he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. No matter what situation I'm in, I can be content, Paul says. In verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content whatever my circumstances are. This is part of the wisdom of Christ coming out in Paul's life, and it's the kind of wisdom that we want to see reflected in us more and more. Not going into debt by keeping up with the Joneses. No offense to any Joneses in our congregation. But by being content with what we have. Being content with who we are in Christ. Now, what we have discovered so far from the Scriptures is that there is definitive wisdom in avoiding debt as much as possible. And now, I think I can probably hear some people saying, but Stuart, I just don't see how that is possible in this day and age. Okay, yeah, it may not be the wisest thing to go into debt, especially foolish debt, especially debt upon debt upon debt. But hey, you know, we live in the 21st century where going to college is like crazy expensive, where buying cars and buying houses, crazy expensive. And sometimes just to be able to get by, we have to put some things on credit in order to just make ends meet. Yeah, and I hear that, and I want to say that there are lots of circumstances where I can't say that I can speak to every one of those. But I do know that the Scriptures give us wisdom. And part of what the wisdom of Scripture says is that going into debt is something that can be avoided, should be avoided, if there's any possible way of avoiding it. And I think that in many cases, there are ways of avoiding at least going into foolish debt or debt that is way beyond what we really should go into. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what about mortgages? You know, I don't know many people who can just pull out their wallet and say, hey, I'm going to buy this house right out, cash. Yeah, sure, yeah, I totally understand that. And if there is any such thing as good debt, buying a house might be the one exception. Or maybe even in a business situation where you're trying to start a business and you take out a loan in order to do that so that you can make more money. Those are, again, situations where we have to use wisdom. Anytime we take on a loan, anytime we go into debt, we take on a risk. And I think that's what mainly the Proverbs are talking about. Recognize what the risk is. And there are some risks that are greater than others. And so being wise in the way we handle any kind of time, even if we're going into buying a house, anytime we're doing anything where we're taking on a loan, taking on debt, it would be good to get wise counsel from people who know what it's like, people who know the ins and outs of finances. It is a good thing for us to do. It's a good thing for us to ask questions like, well, I'm getting ready to buy this house, but is this house more expensive than what I really need? Is this car that I'm about to buy, is it more expensive than what I really need or what I can really pay for at this time? It's good for us to ask all kinds of questions in order to make sure that what the decision that we're making is a wise one. Anytime we take on debt, anytime we take on a loan, there's a risk involved. And the Proverbs are saying, be wise about these decisions. And one of the ways we can do that is by getting advice. You know, some of you may be saying, well, I've already got a lot of debt. Credit card debt, student loans, automobile debt. I mean, I've got it all. You name it, I've got the debt. And okay, so that maybe I made unwise decisions in the past. So what do I do now? Great question. First of all, recognize that we've all made unwise choices at some point in our lives when it comes to finances. But second, know that many times there is a way out. And if you're trying to find a way out of debt and you want to have more financial freedom and stability, one of the things that you can do is, again, find advice from people who know a lot about this area. And one good thing to do is you could check out Crown Financial resources, which you can go online and just type in Crown Financial. And you can find out ways of how you can reduce your debt, and you can find ways of staying out of debt. There are great resources on this, much more than we can go into in a single sermon. So I would invite you, encourage you, maybe even for some, challenge you, go to Crown Financial, check out some of their resources, look and see what you can learn from them, because there's so much good that can come out of investigating and learning about these things and then trying to put them into practice and living out the wisdom that God has given us in Christ. Part of living out the wisdom of Christ is managing our finances well. And part of managing our finances well is dealing well with debt, trying to avoid it as much as we possibly can. And if we are going into debt, that we're doing it with knowing that there's a risk, but also knowing that somehow that risk is small compared to the benefits that we would get from it. Like, for example, in a mortgage or possibly in a business situation where you have to spend money to be able to start up a business or something along those lines. Now, some of you may be saying, well, you know, I'm in financial distress right now. I've got lots of financial issues that are going on right this minute. And look, I don't know any other way out than to go into debt or to go further into debt. Look, if you are someone who has a financial need right now because you're not able to work for whatever reason, there are people in the church who would be willing to help you. And this, again, is part of the way of Christ. Rather than giving and expecting to get something back in return, we give. Not expecting anything in return. Just giving in order to bless. And we can do that when we find contentment in Christ, because It's not, our money isn't the thing that gives us contentment. Our stuff isn't what gives us contentment. Even our health and our welfare isn't what gives us true contentment. What gives us true contentment is Christ. It's Jesus, the one who paid our debt of sin, the one who paid it in full and has given us life and has given us glory and has given us wonder and a destiny and so much else. Even as He gives, we can't outgive Him because He has given us everything. And if we really do believe that, then it's easy for us to let go of some things and be content with who we are and what we have in Jesus. So as those whose sin debts have been paid in full by Christ, let's live wisely for His glory by the way we make financial decisions.